God says it's time to put up or shut up. Stop whining and praying about it. Go out and do something. You have the Spirit of the God of God on the inside of you without measure. My gosh, he said, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. And if you're confused about who he was talking about, he said, whosoever believes on me. Now, I qualify as a whosoever. Not a special minister, not one of the fivefold ministries, whosoever believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Amen. And so what the Spirit of the Lord told me is, church, man, this is the place to step out. This is the place to allow the Spirit of God to move through you. This is a safe environment. We are operating here in a spirit of love, not a spirit of criticism, not a spirit of judgment. You know, this is the place to allow the Spirit of God. And it's possible to make mistakes. How many of you know it's possible to make mistakes? And so even in dealing with this, Paul says, you know, let two or three prophesy and let the others judge. Now, why would others need to judge if it wasn't possible for what them to say have been wrong? See? So you come in saying, you know what? If I make a mistake, if I mess up, no problem. We're learning to hear the voice of God. And since we've done this, we've seen more people step out and hearing the voice of God, so that now you've got, we've had testimonies of people that are out in the workplace and that are praying for people to be healed. We're seeing people now walk in words of knowledge, words of wisdom. They're taking what they're allowing the Spirit of God to do here into the world, and that's what it's all about. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, turn with me to Revelation chapter 2. Hallelujah. I'm going to try to go through this fairly quickly. And listen, as I minister and as I share with you the things that God has given me for tonight, the Bible says, he that hath ears, let him hear. Now, was Jesus talking to a bunch of people that may or may not had ears on the side of their head? No. He was talking about your inner ears. He was talking about, are your ears open on the inside to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying? See, I can speak words to you, and you can listen for the meaning behind my words and what I'm trying to say and trying to get across to you, right? But what is the Spirit of God saying to you? That's what's more important. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. See, and sometimes we can go to Scripture, and then you'll say, oh, I know that Scripture, and you'll immediately shut off what the Spirit of God is trying to do, and he may be trying to bring new light to you, something that's new, glory to God. So, listen, hallelujah, glory. Turn, I said Revelation chapter 2. I'm going to go through this very quickly, but I believe you're going to get something out of this. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Now, John has a vision. Jesus is talking to him. If you have your Bible, you'll see that it's in red. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. What happened was, John was writing the words of Jesus to seven churches. Now, this confuses people right here. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus. Why is Jesus writing to an angel? Okay, well, let me kind of explain what my thoughts are about this. The word angel simply means messenger. Okay, it just means messenger. So it can be translated angel, it can be translated messenger. And in this particular case, he is talking to the leadership or the pastor of this church. Okay, so unto the pastor of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Look at verse 2. Next verse. Yeah. I know your works and your labor and your patience. Now, when I've read through these chapters, chapter 2 and chapter 3, as Jesus is talking to the churches, I tend to think that he is giving a general idea, a general thought to the church. Church, I know your works. Church, I know your patience. But it says here, it says, the angel of it to the pastor, I want you to say these things. These things, says he that holds the seven, go back to verse 2. I know your works. Back to verse 2. I know, let's go back one verse. We'll get it. Backwards. One more. You got it. I know your works. Somebody say, I know your works.
I know your works.
Now see, as I started reading this, I started taking this very personally. So think about this. This is Jesus. I'm just looking up here. This is Jesus talking to you. I know your works individually. I know your labor. I know your patience and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not. And you have found them to be liars. Now look at the next verse. Next verse, verse 3. And you have borne, and you have patience, and for my name's sake you have labored, and you have not fainted. Next verse. Nevertheless, I have something against you because you have left your first love. Now look, this is a very powerful scripture for just a moment. Now just let's take ourselves and just think about this. He says, I know your works. Yes, Jesus knows what I'm doing. I know your labor. Yes, Jesus sees what I'm doing. I know your patience. Yes, Jesus is complimenting me for what I'm doing. He says, but wait a minute, I've got a problem. You have left your first love. Verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence or from where you have fallen, and repent and do the first works. Do the first works. Man, this church had it together. This pastor was leading this church. Ephesus was going strong. But something happened from where they started to where they were right now. They started in a place where they were doing certain works. And then they moved from what they began to do to something else. And Jesus was not pleased with that. So here's what I want to know as a church, as a pastor. Am I doing what Jesus considers the first works? Have I left my first love? Have I fallen from where I started? The question for me is, what are the first works? What are the first works? Well, I got to know a little history about the church of Ephesus. You know, this is a church that Paul and Silas and people, they went and they planted this church. Now, when they went and they started a church, what was it about them that caused the church to be formed, that caused people to come to the gospel? Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Here's another church that he's describing what he did. He said, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with the excellency or of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. For I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And look at verse 4 here, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. He's saying, when I first came to you, It wasn't because I was a great preacher. It wasn't because I gave a good message. I didn't have all the illustrations to give you. I didn't have all the PowerPoint presentations. I didn't have all the videos, you know, to back up what I was saying. I didn't care about any of that. He said, I came in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. I came in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Look at verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Why do we have roller coaster Christians today? Sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down. Why do we have Christians that have lost their passion, that have lost their zeal? Because they got saved and because they go and they follow men's teaching and their faith stands in what they're hearing from the pulpit and it does not stand in the power of God. But Jesus was so confident in the things that he taught that he told the people, he said, if I don't do the works of my Father, then don't believe the words that are coming out of my mouth. In other words, it's not what I'm telling you that I want you to get a hold of. The Father's going to back it up with signs and wonders. And churches have moved away from that. What are the first works? Well, I've got to go back and think, if a church got founded from an apostle that was doing signs and wonders, then I see a church that was full of the Holy Spirit, that was going out and was allowing the gifts of the Spirit to operate in them, that was going out and allowing signs and wonders to follow them, and that was healing people, and that was allowing the power of God to operate in their midst. Amen. That is what I believe were the first works. And then somewhere along the way, as their church grew and they became comfortable, then they got more interested in how much they could do for God than what God was saying, you need to be doing for me. Jesus said to that church, to that pastor, repent. Go back to what you started doing at the very beginning. Now see, some churches would take that and say, okay, well, what if this is for me, what did I do at the beginning? No. Don't read that in context of your history. Don't read that and say, well, what did God tell me to do when I first started the church? No. What was Jesus saying to the church of Ephesus? I'm not interested in what my first works were. I'm interested in what Jesus considered to be first works. And every time he talked about works, he was talking about the works that he did. And so I have to look at the works that he did. Casting out devils. Healing the brokenhearted. Healing the sick. Speaking into people's lives. Forgiving people. Allowing the love of Christ, the love of God, to just flow through him. Every time he saw people that were sick, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion on them. We have to raise our expectation. Now, let's look a little bit about how we can get to this point. What time is it? Okay. Let me try to move through this a little bit quickly. And listen, be aware of what the Spirit of God is saying to you right now. Because this isn't just for ministers. This is for every person that is sitting here. Howbeit, we speak wisdom, verse 6. Among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now, verse 9, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love them. Now, I love this verse. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. In other words, you have no idea what God has for you. You have no idea. how much he loves you. You have no idea what he wants to do in your life. You think that you've heard about the love of God, the grace of God, what he wants to do? You have no idea, saints. The more you learn about him and love him and grow in relationship with him, the more these things become revealed to you. Look at the next verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know. Say no. We might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Man, this is awesome. This scripture right here. He said, we've not received the spirit of the world. Now, listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. But we've received the Spirit that comes from God. Why? Because only the Holy Spirit. Listen. I mean, I know my wife pretty well. We've been married for 25 years. But I can promise you that even today, in 25 years, I mean, there are times that, you know, maybe I've made a mistake. It's possible. I can't remember the last time, but it's possible. No. Now, see, right here, this is a perfect illustration. She's looking at me, and there's a thought going through her mind.
You do know me.
But I don't know what that thought is, and I probably don't want to repeat the thought here in front of everybody else. You liar. But I have walked by the bathroom, and I've heard her say things. Right. And I'm like, hey, what'd you say? Oh, well, that wasn't meant for you to hear. Now, what this simply means is, as well as I know her, there's still thoughts and there's still things that she thinks about that I don't know what those things are. Okay? So, I mean, I only know her as well as I do from this relationship and this communication. But what's on the inside of her, she knows. She knows when she gets mad at me. She knows when she thinks, you know, ugly thoughts towards me. And most of the time she lets, and I know it too, but there's probably sometimes I don't. Now, this is a perfect illustration when it comes to the things of God. You don't capture everything about God by just what's written here. Okay? You capture things by the Spirit of God. You capture the things of God from the Spirit of God. The Spirit that is on the inside of God, the Holy Spirit that knows all things about God, he's the one that searches the deep things, that knows what has been laid up for us. This gives us a glimpse. These words are Spirit, and so they will connect us with the things of God. But it's important that we're living life in the Spirit. Because he says here, he says, we've not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God for this purpose. Whew, man, I love this. Why do we have the Spirit of God? That we may know what has been given freely to us. Revelation from the Spirit of God to you is to show you what has been laid up for you. It's to show you what God has already given to you from the foundation of the world. The more that you walk in the Spirit, the more you're going to see the abundance of God working in your life. The more you're going to see the blessing of God and the favor of God working in your life. The more you're led by the Spirit of God, you're going to get a revelation of just how much he loves you and how much he has already given unto you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he says in verse 13, so we speak these things, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but we speak what the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And then he kind of backs off for just a moment, and I want to hit this briefly because this is very important in your growth to the things of God. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. So he's talking about receiving things out of the Spirit. Now I want you to look at chapter 3 for just a moment. And he said in verse 1, "Brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual." I have to speak to you as natural. Now, this is a terrible thing for a minister of the gospel to have to say to a body of believers. He said, "I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, and you're still now not able." Now, this is a church that has been in existence for quite a while, and he says, "I can't give you the deep things of God. I can't speak to you things that's going to show you what God has freely given to you. I'm still at the milk stage with you." And it's sad to say that this indictment would also apply to numerous churches in the world today. He says, "For you are yet carnal." You're still natural. You just live in the world. And then he starts kind of describing what's going on. He said, "There's among you envying and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal? Do you not walk as men?" I'm going to stop there for just a moment, because what they were saying, some of them would say, "Hey, you know what? I got born again because Paul preached to me." And others were like, "I got born again because Apollos preached to me." And so they created this division. It's kind of like some people say, "You know who my favorite minister is? I love Joyce Meyer." "Oh, really? Well, I'm a Joseph Prince guy." "Really? I'm an Andrew Womack guy." You know, and they start kind of competing. It's like that's creating small divisions amongst you. And when you start comparing yourself to others and start doing things like this, what happens is it puts you in a place that you're natural and you're not able to receive the things from the Spirit of God. And so that's why Paul's going over and over and he's talking about love, unity, love one another. What does it matter? See, is it so important that somebody knows that you listen to a certain minister? No, man, just love people. Now, where's Selena? Can you switch with her? Paul had the heart of God. When he went into a place, he wasn't so concerned about how good his message was. He only wanted to make sure that the power of God was available. And the power of God, if you could just play a little bit, thank you. And the power of God was more important than anything else in his ministry. He said, "We speak what the Holy Ghost teaches." Just because you think that you're doing more for God doesn't mean that you are doing more for God. I'm always listening to what the Spirit of God wants to say, and it's okay just to pause for a moment and just listen. Sometimes in our society, we get in such a hurry about things that we don't like silence. That's why we turn the radio on in the car and all of that kind of stuff. We need to get used to just listening to what the Spirit of God has to say and just rest, right? And so what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying is sometimes we fill up our lives with things. Can I go to more church services? Can I do more things? Can I get involved in more programs? And the more that I'm doing for God validates my zeal and my passion for Him. And when Jesus was talking to the church at Ephesus, He wasn't so impressed by their works and by where they had gotten. As a matter of fact, by them doing more and trying to expand what they were doing, He said, remember from where you fell. In other words, at one point they were here, and the more they started doing, the more they started falling. So for us, for you individually, don't get caught in the trap of getting so busy and trying to do things for God that you don't just come back to the simplicity of the gospel and just minister healing, just minister life, just minister and set people free, and then allow the Holy Spirit to do the work on the inside of them. Pastor Kevin, speak a word to the people, please.
Okay. Lord. Hallelujah.
You're good. Go ahead.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just love the Lord right now. Just praise you, Lord. We love you. Receive your love, Lord. We receive your love, Lord God. Praise your name, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for opening ears this evening, Lord. I believe the Lord is just opening our hearts and opening our ears this evening. Praise the Lord. There was a lady named Lydia in the book of Acts, and as she heard the gospel, the Lord opened her heart. I believe that's happening tonight. We didn't just come for a cup of cold water. We came for the source. We came to the source this evening just to receive and be able to disperse wherever we go. And praise you, Lord, that you have called us to come closer to you. Lord, we could be distribution centers of your gospel, Lord God, of your Spirit. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's good. Distribution centers. Taking the power of God. Now stand with me for just a moment, please. Just lift up your hands towards heaven. Let's just pray in the Spirit for just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit just reveal things to you right now. This is a time to allow the Lord to use you and just to step out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. And if you believe that the Lord has a word for you to give, then come up here. Just step out. Be bold. Thank you, Lord. We'll give it some time. Don't have to rush the things of God. Glory. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. While you are just listening to the voice of God, does anybody need prayer for healing tonight? We've just been seeing some tremendous things happening in our services. Does anybody have any pain? Come on. Glory to God. What's up?
My left shoulder's been bothering me.
Where has it been hurting?
Right in here.
Does it hurt when you lift up your arm or
yeah,
what?
It pumps and whenever I move it around.
Yeah.
I either tore or something or got something out of place about a year ago. It's been bothering me lately.
In the name of Jesus. That which has been torn, that which has been moved out of place, that which has been broken, be restored in Jesus' name. Move it around.
Still popping, but it don't hurt when it
goes. Still a little pop, but it's not hurting now. Keep moving it around a little bit. I hear the pop, but is there any pain?
It doesn't hurt.
Okay. But you've been having pain.
Yes.
Right? Keep moving it around.
It hurts whenever it would pop. It ain't hurting now, though.
Lift it all the way up. The popping's not bad. I mean, that's okay. It's the pain that's been associated with it. But there's no pain right now. Well, let's just give God praise for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? What you got? Just been ill with headaches, stomach aches, something like that.
I don't know what's wrong with
Yeah.
It got so bad yesterday that I literally
almost passed out. Wow. So really bad headaches, stomach aches, something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes
you think it's possible that you could be giving us a grandchild?
No. 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 No.
Come here.
That's quieting. Thanks. No.
You're welcome.
No.
I love you.
Uh-huh.
It's okay. We're gonna pray for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes humor kind of breaks through a little bit.
Mm-hmm. I knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming.
I knew it was
good.
Coming.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
Every pain leaves your body now. No more headaches. No more stomach aches in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for perfect peace and perfect wholeness in the name of Jesus. Now, Olivia, the word of God to you is rest in Him. Don't stress out. Don't be anxious. But just rest.
Okay.
That's what I'm hearing. Okay? And it's done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now, who has something to share that the Lord's giving them? give it just a few more minutes.
I want to give you a little something that I heard. A well-known preacher made this statement last night, and I thought, this has got to be the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life. He said the Lord came to him one night and was talking to him, and he said, I want you to know that everything that happens to you comes from me because I am in control. Now, I don't know where he got that, but the Lord wasn't talking to him. He couldn't have been. Every good thing comes from God.
Yes.
Every bad thing comes from the devil. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And what Mark was teaching, I think that's where a lot of confusion comes, because people are listening to the wrong person and it's getting in their spirit and they actually believe it. And when I was a deacon in the Baptist church, we had the dumbest prayer, and I was just as guilty as the rest of them. But if the pastor called on one of the deacons to have a word of prayer before church service, invariably, this is what comes out. Lord, we ask that you go with us through the rest of this service. And we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Now, if that doesn't beat all I've ever heard, I mean, why pray for Jesus' sake? He doesn't need our prayer. And he said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, well, he's there. But we're asking him to go with us through the rest of the service. But anyway, I'm through preaching.
See, the wonderful thing about what that is awesome is that when you walked into this place, you know, we talk about the presence of God and we talk about being aware of the presence and all of that. The truth of the matter is you carry the presence of God with you. See, when we step into this place, you brought the presence of God with you. All right. And now what we do is we just allow the presence of God that exists on the inside of us to come out and just feel this place. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that we are carriers of your presence. Father, help us in the name of Jesus to be more mindful of your presence as we walk into Starbucks, as we walk in to a restaurant. Father, help us to be mindful that we're carrying your presence with us, and that presence is there and the Holy Spirit is there to minister to the needs of the people that are in that place. Father, help us to be aware of what your voice is telling us so that we can minister to those, the waitress that comes to our table. Lord, put us in a place that we can just speak into their lives in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, glory. Can't close this yet. One more person. Is there somebody else that has something to say? Glory. Sure, absolutely.
Can I have a seat here?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, the Lord gave me a dream, probably about 4 months ago, and I was in this mall, and I was there looking at sport jackets, and, you know, I look at that as the tools that we're coming into to get to go out into the world for his work. And so I'm in the mall, and I can see a bunch of people, but I can't see any of their faces. But there's one girl in there that I can see her face. And I'm looking around, and the lights are kind of dark, but I can see. So I turn around and I look down a hall, and there's a man sitting in a desk that looks like Colonel Sanders. And he's in a great mood, you know, and I ask him if he can turn the lights up. And he's like, sure, and he flicks the lights on. And then all of a sudden, it's like, poof, I'm in another room. And I'm in a bed, and I'm waking up because I was asleep. And I look, and I see the backside of my father, and he's talking to the girl that I saw in the mall, whose face I could see. And my dad, and behind her, there's a door with like really bright light shining through it. And my dad looks at her and asks, what do you want to do with your life? And she looks at him and just plainly says, I'm going to restore the church. And I don't know how much of this, you know, really resides with you guys, but, you know, God is doing, he's moving in a way in the earth, and he's going to restore the church. And it's not going to be something that's going to happen inside the walls. It's going to happen inside of you. It's going to happen amidst persecution and the storm, because those that follow the Lord, signs and wonders will happen, but so will persecution when you stand up for Jesus, the real Jesus. And I look at that in the mall as I was going in there looking at, you know, sport jackets. Like, that meant something to me personally. It doesn't necessarily mean what I thought it meant. But looking back, it's that nameless, faceless generation. I couldn't see any of the faces of the people in there, except for the one bride. And
praise God.
So it's time, and it's the harvest is ripe. You know, the fields are ready, and this is something we have to do. It's something God's doing in us. So,
and that's the key. See, God is. Thank you, brother. Is that He is. He's causing the body to be fitly joined together.
Yes.
Division, strife, envy, those things that Satan has tried to use to divide the body of Christ and to make it powerless, those things are coming to naught, because where sin doth abound, the Bible says grace much more abounds. And what is happening is the body of Christ is learning to receive the abundance of God's grace, the abundance of His love, and to extend that love to others. And it is a transformation process that happens from the inside out. The inside out, just like he was sharing. And so what's happening is it's not about us building churches from the outside in, but it's taking, and it's really, how do I say this? It's really becoming aware of who you are as a son and a daughter of the Most High God, and taking what has been given and deposited on the inside of you out into the world and expecting. Remember, I told you that the Lord told me, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Believe. Believe. And Kevin and Melanie, can you come here for just a moment? The Spirit of God is dealing with me about you guys. And I just want to share something with you. Hallelujah. Okay, so Mel's not here. Well, then it's just going to be you.
Amen.
Is she going to be back? Here she comes. Melanie? See, she walked in right at the right time. Would you just kind of reach your hands out here to this precious man and woman of God? Lord knows your heart. You know that He does. But from this day forward, there is going to be an increase in the giftings and the anointings and the graces that He has put on your lives. Yeah. When you step into the pulpit, when you step into that place, into that calling, you're going to have, I'm talking about specific knowings, insight, revelation is going to be deposited into you while you're speaking. And it's going to surprise you at how it comes. I'm talking about He is going to do a work in you. I hear, He says, I don't know if this means anything, but He says, tell him, I hear the cry of his heart. And I have answered that cry. And it is done. And it's going to be expressed out of your love. I'm telling you, all of signs and wonders. There is something that is happening right now, an increase for you guys that is so strong. And it's going to be manifested out of that love that you show for the people. So, man, just receive it. Amen. In Jesus' name. That's what I hear the Spirit of God saying. Amen. 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 I love you, brother.
I love you too.
Hallelujah. Come on, give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we're just going to keep moving on. We're going to allow the Spirit of God on the inside of us to continue to search the deep things of God. I don't want to be a carnal Christian. I don't want to be in that place like where Paul was telling that church, look, I can't feed you meat because of where you are. You're living in the flesh and you're not allowing yourself to live in the Spirit. No, not this church. Not you people. You're allowing the Spirit of God to cause you to come deeper and deeper and to know the things. Man, take it out there. Expect. I'm going to say it again. Expect signs and wonders to follow you.
Yes.
I mean, living and walking in the miraculous is normal for the believer. Don't start looking at miracles as, you know, we have a tendency. Something happens, we want to call and like, God did a miracle. Like, this is so unusual. No, no, no. It's time that the miraculous, we just expect it. We are living in the kingdom. It's just part of who we are. Jesus didn't turn around like, did you see that guy get healed?
That's right.
His eyes, they were opened. He can hear. He didn't act like this is new or anything like that. He lived and he breathed the miraculous. Live and breathe the miraculous. Live and breathe the miraculous in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you praise. We receive everything that you've said here tonight. Father, we expect increase in every area as we continue to listen to the Spirit of God. Father, if we have laid, or if we've laid aside the first works, and if we've just gone after our own works and our own righteousness, Father, we repent. We go back and we just go back to the simplicity of the gospel, delivering people by the power of Jesus Christ, by the blood of Jesus Christ, and allow Jesus to work through us. Allow the Spirit of God to work through us. All the glory to you, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. Take a few moments. Go hug somebody. Just bless them. Talk to people. Don't just get out of here. Come on, love on one another. In Jesus' name, and you are dismissed.